Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode number 66 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media. And something special today. We are actually going to preview both ALDS series, and so we welcome in somebody outside of the brethren of the rotation. Who knows, maybe he'll be a future member of the Chris Rose rotation. He is formerly of the Cleveland Indians, now of the Cleveland Guardians, catcher Austin Hedges. Hello, Austin, how are you?
Good, Rosie, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I want to kind of get a little bit outside of the normal six guys that we have in the rotation throughout the 2021 season, give them a little bit of a breather, let them catch up with their family. And so I thought you would be perfect, in part because I was searching your social media and I said, anybody that is willing to talk shit to their wedding guests is okay in my book. I want everybody to give a listen to this.
The next point I would like to make is, if you're sitting in your chair doing one of the my boyfriend's not here, right? I'm not happy. Get up, grab a glass of champagne, go find someone, because we're gonna party. Okay? Listen, we're gonna party, and I wanna see every single one of you motherfuckers on this dance floor celebrating Margaret Rose and myself, and I love you guys.
Wow. Yeah, that happened. That was, hey, it worked. It worked. I didn't see any, too many times you go and you're at a wedding, you're at something, you see those people are, and they're just poor me. And I'm like, not my wedding, not today. We're going to have fun and you're not going to ruin my time and my wife's time. And I mean, we had a blast. So it was, that's fun.
Okay, so I love the sentiment. I'm not so sure I could have said, all you motherfuckers, with my parents there. I'm not so sure I could have pulled that off. How'd that go?
My mom is the sweetest lady in the whole world. And she, I remember making eye contact with her as the second fucker came out. And I was like, oh, mom, I'm so sorry. But then my dad had already, I told him in his speech, he was my best man. I told him in his speech, go for it. You nothing's off limits. You can wear me out. And this guy just went for the jugular. And so I kind of got set up. A bunch of the guys went, they kind of did the nice roasting part of it. So I had to make sure I got a couple people back, but that was one of the main parts. But my mom wasn't super thrilled.
You are here to break down the two ALDS series, and we'll get to that momentarily, but I got to ask, there's always a loose cannon ball player at one of the weddings. So who was it?
It was, there weren't a ton of ball players there. One of the funny parts was actually in that same speech. I had Scott Boras sitting next to Ron Fowler, one of the older owners for the Padres. And I made sure I mentioned, I said, Scott, thank you so much for coming. Ron, thank you so much for coming. It's not coincidence that I sat you two next to each other, because if I'm not leaving here with one of those Manny Machado contracts, then this is all just a waste of time. So, I was like, okay, I got this. I got Scott Boras and I got an owner of a team sitting and I was like, my wife was like, where do I sit them? I'm like, what are we talking about? I need them together. I need them scheming. I need them tell me how much they love me all the time. So maybe I was the loose cannon. I was the loose cannon at my own wedding.
That sounds about right on course, which is why you are here for the next several minutes to break it all down. Let's start with the series that's going to get going between a team you're very familiar with, the AL Central winning Chicago White Sox taking on the Houston Astros. The best of five series will start in Houston. As of the taping of this show, we know Lance McCullers is going game one for the Astros. We think it's going to be our Chris Rose rotation buddy, Lucas Giolito, that'll get the ball over Lance Lynn in game one. But once again, as the timing of this taping, we're not exactly sure of that. With all that being said, these are two really good lineups. You are a catcher. Which one is tougher to navigate through?
Oh, man, it's funny. So, we got to face I had to get freaking Tim Anderson, Moncada, Bray, all these guys out. so many more times than we had to get the Astros out. Luckily, you know, we only had to play them twice. But I would probably have to give the edge to that Astros team. They're a little bit more disciplined. One through nine on both teams are outstanding. Mm-hmm. And honestly, having Luis Robert back was a monster to get back, because we all knew how good he was. Well, I mean, maybe not, honestly. We all knew he was really good. But when he came back, I was like, there were some things he did that were like best in the league things, like bat speed. Sometimes when I'm catching, I can just feel, you know, I don't know how fast your bat speed is, but I can feel it. Like when Joey Gallo gets up to hit, like you can like feel his swing going. Luis Robert, there was like, I'm throwing this guy every pitch in every location, and he's just on it without like having to commit super early. And so I was blown away by him. So having Eloy Jimenez back, you know, is monstrous for the White Sox. But there's something about that Astros team, that one through nine, they don't chase and they can slug you. And in my opinion, the two biggest things for an offense, slugging and on base, right? You know, OPS is king these days. So when it's a team that aren't going to swing at your bad pitches and make you come into the zone, and when you do, they're going to slug you. And that's why I think I give the slight edge to the Astros.
Who is the toughest out in the Astros lineup and why?
Altuve. Gosh, there's a lot of them. Altuve is really tough because he's 9 feet off the plate. He's in the front of the box. He's in this really random spot of the box that, you know, like as a catcher, I'm pretty much in a small area very consistently. When Jose is hitting, I'm like a good foot and a half closer to the plate, where like I'm almost like, if I went down on my knees, I'd be on top of home plate. It's a bizarre spot to be in. So that already makes it uncomfortable for your pitcher, because it's just a weird visual. Like, what is this? How is he so far off the plate, so close to me, and he can cover everything? But that being said, Yuli Gurriel became, I didn't play it in the AL much my whole career, but facing him was one of the toughest outs as well. So I think I'd say Jose Altuve, like everybody knows, but Yuli Gurriel is, you know, it's awesome that it might be him.
With Altuve, is it just that he seems to barrel up anything? Like he could hit a pitch 2 feet over his head and it still seems like he can do damage.
So he went way more pull this year. Once again, not playing him a ton before, I feel like I remember him using the whole field a lot more. I feel like this year he just went, I'm off the plate, I'm going to dive and I'm going to cover. If you go anything from middle away towards middle in, or towards honestly in off, I'm swinging, I'm getting the head out, and I'm going to do some damage. Or occasionally he'd slap his hits a little bit, but I felt like he was just trying to do damage and like super off the plate, dive out for the ball. And with his smaller body, it almost like helps him. Like you can't beat him in. His arms are small and he's got such amazing hands that when you try and get in on him, he can suck those things in so quick where, you know, it makes it really tough.
Is there a guy in the White Sox lineup that maybe we don't think about as much going into a 5-game series that we should be paying close attention to?
The one guy that ended up playing a lot for them, that's a really nice player, is Gavin Sheets. He, their team got very hurt for a while and were still able to win a lot of ball games. And that guy came up and did the two things that I was talking about earlier, the slug and the walk. The guy goes up there and he doesn't have a lot of chase. And when you come to his spot in the zone, he can whack it. So that right there, that's kind of the DNA of a really good hitter, in my opinion. I felt like he had that. And I mean, this guy was hitting 4-hole and he was hitting 9, and then he was hitting 9-hole when all the guys came back. So this was a guy that was helping him win ball games, hitting cleanup behind Jose Abreu. And now he's hitting 9-hole. I mean, that's a deep piece for them that, I don't even know if he's going to be starting. But if he is, I think he's a sneaky player that could win a ball game for you in one swing.
I'm so old. I remember his dad's entire career, Larry Sheets. That's how old I am. Did you even know his dad played in the show?
I thought it might've been Ben Sheets' son or something, but that was wrong. It was Ben Sheets that big? Like Larry, That was not it. It was wrong sheets. That's where my head went.
There was something that came to fruition the last week of the season where Jose Abreu got hit. You know, he got hit over 20 times this year, and Detroit pegged him on the elbow, and we had a little dust up when he slid hard into Nico Goodrum at second and all that sort of stuff. Is the book, you better bust that guy inside or you're dead?
Book on every, maybe 100% of big league hitters, the book is get in on them and make them uncomfortable. You have to. When you're facing an elite hitter that can do things that, you know, at an MVP caliber level like Jose can, you have to make them uncomfortable. You're not trying to hit them by any means, but you have to throw pitches inside. And guys like him that are big bodies that kind of lean out over the plate, there's less room for error where a ball might hit you. But good hitters get hit. Good hitters stay in there and they'll get hit. But when you think about it, that's just helping them. You're getting on base as long as you're not getting seriously hurt. But anytime I'm facing a guy like that, you know, you got to be careful. You got to make sure you make a pitch, because first of all, you want to get ahead, but you don't want to get ahead to a point where it's a home run. Then after that, you got to do something after you get ahead to make them uncomfortable. You know, whether it's speed them up some more to slow them down, maybe it's slow them down to speed them up. You got to do something to get him off of his plan, which is a really, really damn good plan. Obviously, if he's an MVP of a league. So for me, like if really with anybody, it's never going to be a surprise if you're seeing me catch and I'm calling fastballs in, just because I think you have to. If you just live away and guys are leaning out over, it's just going to be a comfortable at bat. And if you're comfortable in the box, you have an advantage.
Have you ever had guys that have talked to you? Like, what the fuck was that all about?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things there's all kinds of great dialogue that happens in the box. Ideally, most of it's all in good fun, but sometimes I mean, there's a perfect instance. It actually wasn't with me, but this season we hit Abreu and Tony La Russa came running out to yell at Roberto Perez. And we're like, dude, like he was mad at him for calling like a fastball inside. Like, sorry, dude. Like we got to go. Just because your name's Jose Abreu doesn't mean you are now like you're not allowed to be throwing fastballs inside. Sorry. We have to do it. So like some people take it, the guys don't want to get hit, but at the same time, guys don't want to get hit so bad that they don't, that it affects them. If I hit you on the elbow and you get really upset about it, sadly, all it tells me is that you don't like getting hit by pitches. And if you don't like getting hit by pitches, I'm going to try my best to make it seem like balls are coming towards you. So then you're aware in here. Now I threw you some sliders away or something. Just anything to get you off of your plan. So it might make you upset, but as baseball fan, like I'm not your best friend. You know, we can grab beers after the game, but right now, like, sorry.
By the way, dude, people don't know you got nailed in the dome this year.
I did. That one fun. My wife wasn't super thrilled with that one.
What? Can I ask you about getting hit in the head? Because it looks terrifying. Like, I remember in eighth grade getting scared of the baseball when guys started throwing hard. I can't imagine what it's like taking 95 to the head. Do you have any
weird
memory,
man,
of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I remember the whole thing. It didn't knock me out. It's weird because I think one of the hard things about this day and age with how hard guys are throwing and guys that will throw up and in, sadly, as a hitter now, the breaking ball that I might want to hit if I'm looking for that basically has to start where a fastball at my face is starting. And so if you're staying in there and you want to stay in and make sure you don't, like, if I'm getting that kind of front door slider that is going to end up middle, I have to keep my head in there and I got to be ready to hit it. But if that thing stays straight and doesn't break, then it's coming right in my head. And I think on that specific pitch, I was looking soft. I was so committed to soft that I was like going to keep my head in there. Like, I got to stay in on this pitch, that by the time it came, I didn't have time to get out of the way. Cause I usually have time to get out of the way. I don't know, but it was weird, man. It was weird. And I've had a minor history of concussions. Just I had one before. This one caused one, but it was weird. It was an accumulation of a lot of backswings, foul tips. That's usually where I get hit, is behind the plate, foul tip, backswing. So it was weird. Concussions are no fun. I've got a little bit of history with those, and anybody that's not taking full precautions to try and avoid those things, trust me, you don't want one of those. You go straight crazy.
Your attention, please. Batting leadoff for the LA Dodgers is Lawnmower 4.0 from our friends at Manscaped. Yeah, this is a fourth generation trimmer. It's going to help you dodge your hairy situation south of the equator, much like the Baltimore Orioles dodged the wind column in 2021. I kid because I care. Anyway, the Performance Package 4.0 is Manscaped. Fastball right down the middle, takes care of all of your grooming needs, and it's waterproof as well. We got all sorts of stuff, including an ear and nose hair trimmer, which I really need, formulations, and two free gifts. You got a shed travel bag. You also get the Manscaped boxer briefs, which Michelle Rose loves, by the way. You also have a crop preserver ball deodorant, a crop reviver ball toner. It's meant to keep you smelling fresh and keep you nice and clean. So once again, it's the Lawnmower 4.0. And here's the greatest deal of all. You get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code word Rose at manscaped.com. I'm going to repeat that again. You get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code word Rose at manscaped.com. It's the postseason. Clean yourself up for yourself and that someone special in your life. All right, let's get back to the fun stuff here. The pitching staffs of these two teams. Obviously, you saw the monsters on the south side of Chicago almost 20 times this year. Houston, I think, has one of the most underrated starting staffs, to the point where Zach Greinke is going to start this series in the bullpen, and who knows if he's even going to get a start. Can Houston's starting rotation keep up with Chicago's?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think Houston's going to have to pitch. They don't have the stuff. The thing about Chicago is they don't really have to pitch. They can go out there and throw and be way better than you. And honestly, if their starter doesn't go that well, they've got some of the nastiest arms in the bullpen that I've ever seen. So like the pitching side, like I'm going to give Chicago a pretty distinct advantage, in my opinion, of facing those guys. They can, golly, man. I mean, from when you know you got to go out and face Lance Lynn, who's going to throw you 99% fastballs, but they go in different directions. It's a unique at bat. Like they have a lot of unique pitchers that can do some things that are very rare. And I think Houston's a little bit more generic. They have guys that can pitch. They're going to have to know their game plan. They have to make adjustments immediately. You know, luckily they got a guy like Maldonado back there who has been here before. And I think they're going to need to lean on him a lot to, psychoanalyze this White Sox team and figure out what they're trying to do. And if they can figure out that this White Sox team is trying to, you know, whether they want to stay on the heater, they want to do whatever, they're going to have to do that and have to make a lot of adjustments so they can compete in this.
Yeah, you talked about that White Sox bullpen. For people that don't know, the young guys, I mean, we know about Kimbrel, we know about Liam Hendricks, right? So you've got that taken care of. But it's the bridge guys that are so ferocious. And I don't know what role each of them are going to play moving forward. I think eventually they're both starters. And I'm talking about from the right side, Michael Kopech, and from the left side, Garrett Crochet. And neither of them look like a fun at bat to me.
I mean, their whole team throws 100. Then they got like a Ruiz guy who I played with when I was like 18 with the Padres, and he was a catcher. Now he throws 100 off the mound, and you got Bummer who's throwing turbo sinkers at 100 or 95 from the left side. Tapera's got a wipeout slider. When having is like they're it doesn't matter who they throw out there. Who am I missing? They got Barr. Is that right? Big tall guy. They're endless amount of arms, and they all throw 100. Like every time, like my guy, I tell my hitting coach, who's this guy? I don't know, some guy for the White Sox, but there's 100. Just be ready. Yeah, here you go. That's just what you have to be prepared for. When Kopech can give you multiple innings, Crochet could probably give you multiple innings. Like they've got guys built up that they're in position where they have an advantage, like I was saying, where their stuff is so good, they don't really have to pitch. If they do pitch as well, it's honestly, it's their World Series to lose if all of that talent plays to its fullest. I think it's the most talented team in baseball.
When it comes to the managers, it's the first time ever we're going to have two guys in their 70s managing against each other in the playoffs. And both these first two games will be day games. Are we most concerned that one of the guys is going to fall asleep for an afternoon nap?
Oh, man. Oh, I hope Tony has his coffee in the morning. It might be an early one for him, but that's funny. But I mean, you got two absolute legends going out there that have World Series. Dusty's won a World Series, right?
No, he hasn't. Remember, they lost.
Dusty hasn't.
No, they lost Game 7 when he was with the Giants
That's right.
Yeah, it was.
That's right.
I will say this though, and you've had an opportunity to play for some interesting managers, and obviously with Terry Francona, with the health issues, you probably haven't gotten the full dose of Tito there. But Dusty, the guys I've talked to that have played for Dusty, love him. Love him. And it's so interesting because you've got the 180 of so much of the baseball world can't stand the Astros based on what happened in 2017. But a lot of the baseball world would love to see Dusty win a ring, you know?
Dusty's a lovable guy, man. Like, just we traded for Miles Straw, and unbelievable guy. And he had just absolutely nothing but good things to say about pretty much the whole organization, but Dusty. And I mean, I remember that World Series, I, for whatever reason, I thought he might've won one. I feel like he'd been to 1,000 World Series with other teams, but I was an Angels fan, you know, watching Dusty Baker manage Barry Bonds. So, you know, all that history. I mean, if you've managed that many teams and had that much success, you gotta be doing something right. Mm-hmm. La Russa as well. So, the history is amazing. It's two guys that have been there so many times where, you know, it's not going to phase them a whole lot. And the team that goes out and buys into what they're talking about the most and is cool and just acts like it's a baseball game that you need to go in. Whichever manager can do that. If they can handle it like I know Tito can, then they're going to be in great shape, because if they're anything like Tito, then they're one of a kind.
All right, last thing in this series before we move on. I mentioned the Astros and the cheating scandal. Do you think most baseball players are rooting against them in the playoffs, or do you think most players don't care and they've moved on?
I would guess most players are rooting against them, but I don't know if that's above 50%. It might be 50%. I know it rubbed a lot of guys the wrong way, most guys, but at the same time, time does heal all wounds, and it obviously a lot has blown over. So honestly,
when you look at the Houston Astros, is the first thing you think of cheating, or have you mentally gotten past it?
First thing I think of is cheating. It's just, it's the first thing that comes to your mind, especially when they win and everything happened. But at the same time, I know a lot of guys on that team. I know a lot of coaches and people that are amazing human beings. And I still, you know, I still have respect for them. And I know people make mistakes and things happen, but for me, I've pretty much moved on. I think of it, but now it's time. They have the same restrictions that every other team does now. If there's MLB security everywhere, like, it'd be, if you're cheating now, you're it's honestly hats off. That's impressive. So it's a fair game now. So what happened in the past, I'm over it. Like, that, yeah, it's still recent enough where, like, you think of it, but when it comes down to it, when they go out and play baseball, it's going to be a fair playing field. And I'm looking forward to watching them, because I think they're it's a talented organization with a lot of talented ball players that I enjoy watching play.
Okay, real quick, I got to stop because you got a buddy over your right shoulder. Introduce the Rose Rotation populace to your furry Bruce. Friend.
Brucey, hey, come here. This is Bo.
Come here, Bo. Oh,
here's Bo. We got Bo and Bruce. This is Bo Jackson. He's my 9-year-old lab. And then we got Bruce Wayne over there. He's Batman. He's the 1-year-old Great Dane. he's a psychopath, but yeah, we kind of got a doghouse here. Now they're doing some things that you probably can't show on camera. My goodness.
Oh. Yeah, well, we probably can actually, but
we could be a little distracting. If you're into that.
I'll let them have their privacy, whatever they want to do. You know, I'm good with, you know, it's their lives. I don't sit here and judge. Okay. Thank you. Hey gang, look, nobody's perfect. People strike out with the bases loaded. We saw people missing short putts in the Ryder Cup. Sometimes you come up a little short, and it happens in the bedroom as well. But our friends at Get Roman want to help you. So go to GetRoman.com/JohnBoy now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for all forms of EED. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional is going to work with you. Sit down. If medication is required, it gets sent free with 2-day shipping to your home. So the great part about this, no doctor's office visits. You don't have to stand in line at the pharmacy. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. So getting started is really simple. GetRoman.com/JohnBoy and complete an online visit. Take care of your form of ED today. It's GetRoman.com/JohnBoy now, and you get $15 off your first month. Once again, that is GetRoman.com/JohnBoy. If medication is required, 2-day free shipping. Get started now and save $15 on your first month. Let's make the seamless transition to the best team in the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays, playing host to the wild card winner, the Boston Red Sox. And I ask the probably easiest yet most difficult question. How do the Rays do it?
I mean, they commit to something. Apparently they commit to something. And I think pretty much in all of baseball, like everything that you're going to go do great, you got to fully commit to it. Whether it's a pitcher, got to be convicted in that pitch. Whether it's a hitter, has got to be convicted in his plan. I think it starts from up top. They have some type of plan that they go do and that they commit to, from the players they get, the people they get, and to how they play the game, how they manage their bullpen, who starts in what situation. They play the 162 season. They don't play the, which I think a lot of teams too often, each game, individual game, is like play like ride or die. And sadly, we play a sport where no one's ever going to go 162-0. If you're the best team of all time, you might win 110 games. There's a lot of games to lose that it's okay. And if you play the long game of like, here's an example. It's like striking out looking over striking out swinging. If I told you you're going to strike out 100 times, but all swinging, so you're always going down battling, would you rather go down 100 times swinging or 50 times looking? Probably going to take the 50 times looking. It's a little bit more embarrassing, you know, keeping the bat on your shoulder, like, but you didn't battle, quote unquote. But the reason guys go out there and that are willing to strike out looking, I think it's not commitment to that one at bat. It's a commitment to a 600 at bat season. If I take every single borderline pitch, I'm going to get on base more and get not only wait out more mistakes, but I'm going to not swing at those pitches that either are going to be called balls or I don't want to hit anyways. But the only reason I'm doing it is not for that one at bat or that one pitch. It's actually the long game, because over the course of time, it adds up, where I think the Rays do something like that, where they're like, we're going to play every righty against this left-handed pitcher. We're going to bring in this type of bullpen guy to face this type of guy. We're going to bring in these types of people that can play different positions. And it's not going to work sometimes, but at the end of 162, we will have an advantage more often. And they're just gambling. They're playing poker. Like, we're going to take our 60% versus 55% chance, small percent, but enough over the course of 162 games where it equals a lot of wins. And that's what I got on that.
It's interesting. Really, I've never thought of it that way. And I think you probably nailed it. With all that being said, I think part of the reason people have a tough time gravitating toward the Tampa Bay Rays is they don't let their stars develop into stars in Tampa. They get rid of them before they have to pay them like stars. With that being said, and I know you only faced them twice this year in series, who's the guy? Who are the one or two guys in that lineup where you're like, those guys are damn good baseball players, man? Don't sleep on them.
So the two guys that I think are damn good ball players, Lau and Zunino, this, they both go up there and they hit one something or 220. Like, they don't have these big sexy batting average numbers, but they can work a walk and they can beat you with on any swing. Both of those guys, I knew, like, if I pitched really, really well, I'm going to get them out. But if I made a mistake, it's a homer. And those two guys, you know, obviously, like, they've got a bunch of other guys too, but for whatever reason, from the right side Zunino, from the left side Lau, when they came up, I felt like if I went inside, they were going to hit a pull side homer. If I went away, they were going to hit a backside homer. And they didn't have a lot of chase either. And once again, going back to that, the slug and the chase thing, those are my two biggest fears as a catcher. If you don't chase and you slug me, I got to do a lot of work. If you chase and you slug, I'm just not going to give in. Mm-hmm. These guys and this whole team, really, they commit to that plan too. So I'm looking forward to seeing, I think Zunino is one of the best catchers in baseball. I love watching the guy play. And I think he always shows up in the playoffs and has monster playoffs. I think Lau does too. The fact that they've been there, cause they've got new pieces too, but the guys that have been there, the Arozarenas too, I think these are going to be the guys that are going to need to carry them because the moment won't seem too big for them.
And one of the guys they did bring in mid-season was Nelson Cruz. How much does his dynamic change a lineup? I mean, you faced him with the Twins there in the Central before the deal.
God, I mean, he's unbelievable. He's, I don't know how he does it. He just stands there and can, he just stands there, puts his toe down, swing. Like, I don't know how he does it, but he can cover everything. He's another guy, like, when facing Jose Abreu, where, like, you got to get in there. You got to try and make him uncomfortable, because if he's up there and he looks like he's, like he usually does, just chilling, waiting for you to throw a mistake, if he has that, you're not going to get him out. You're just not going to get him out. He can, because he can hit for average too. He's one of those freaky guys that not only can he slug you, not only can he take his walks, he can also take a hit. He'll just be like, ah, whatever. Stop throwing me sliders down away. I'll hit my single to right. So you stop throwing that, maybe come in to me and I can hit a homer. He's a really smart, really amazing hitter. Just one of the better hitters of our generation. And that was a monster trade for them.
And he's got great eyebrows. I don't know if sometimes you get Yeah, he really does. Next time he comes up to the dish and you just, you know what? Chris Rose told me you have great eyebrows and he's not joking. Like, it'll throw him off his game a little bit.
I don't mind doing that. I need something to throw him off his game.
See, that does that shit happen with Bull Durham? Like, you know,
sure.
Crash Davis, like, really? You remember a conversation you had with somebody where you tried to fuck him up?
My favorite thing to do is it'll happen to anybody. Like, anytime a guy's going well, I try and remind them when they come into the box, like, you know, they'll tell me nice swing or something if I got a hit. So I try and tell them nice swing or something on their hit, but I tell them what they did mechanically that I thought, because it wasn't mechanics. I'm like, hey man, you're getting your foot down early right now. It looks really good. Or like, man, your hands are really getting back on time, really clean. Something that I don't even know what it is, but something maybe they think about, oh man, am I getting my hands? He said that I'm doing that. Anything to make you think about something physical, because if you're thinking about anything physical in the box, you're done. So that's one of my little things. Cause it's all in good fun. Like, hey man, you did a great job. Please think about that so I can get you out.
That's great. I love it. Red Sox lineup. I'd be interested to hear who you think the toughest out in that lineup is.
There's two. I'll give you another righty lefty. It's Xander Bogaerts and it's Alex Verdugo. Both of them are tough outs because they can cover the whole plate. And once again, common denominator here for this episode is they don't chase a whole lot. If you don't chase, I don't like facing you because I have to throw you strikes. Bogaerts stays in his zone. Verdugo did it since he was with the Dodgers. He stays in his zone and they can cover both sides of the plate. If you want to throw them deep in a lot, they can hit that. If you want to just stay away from them, they can hit that. They can both take their hits to both sides of the field and they both have pop. I mean, seeing what Verdugo did yesterday, he's obviously got that ice in his veins, the clutch gene, because those are big hits that I know Red Sox fans will not forget against a team like the Yankees. And he's another guy that's been there too. Like he's a young guy who's played in a lot of big games. And Bogaerts, what did they say, something like he's like most wins or something in playoffs for the Red Sox in history, something crazy like that?
Well,
I feel like I might've heard something. It's possible. He's done a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I think guys like that, that have been there when you're going to play in the playoffs and you're going to play in ideally a World Series and you've been there a lot, and it, the more it feels like it's just a baseball game that you can go out and execute your plan, I think the more success you'll have. And guys like Bogarts, I think are, you know, I think they're built for it.
So getting back to the Rays here, I think one of the reasons they're fascinating is they went the last 3 months of the year without their best starting pitcher, Tyler Glasnow, from the Rose rotation. They traded a dependable veteran in Rich Hill. They got rid of their starting shortstop in Willy Adames, who shined up in Milwaukee. And they just keep adding arms. And you mentioned it a little bit earlier that they just have so many different guys, for whether it's different angles, different velocities, different spin rates. They figured out exactly what it is they want. Is that why they're the most difficult pitching staff to face?
Yeah. Yeah. Every guy on their team does something spectacular and goes out and just uses it. Like there's not a, when you watch them pitch, it's not a surprise that this guy's throwing 90% slider. This guy's throwing 90%, you know, rise ball fastballs. Every guy has a weapon, and they're just like, hey man, go use your strength. It seems to me like they let their guys go out and just, they're not trying to fool anybody. This is what I do great. Like they went out and they got a guy like Matt Whistler, he's bounced around on some teams, but the guy throws 80% sliders. People hit his fastball, but no one hits his slider. And that's a valuable piece to have in a bullpen. If it's like, if I got one out in the seventh inning and I got two guys back to back that just cannot hit a slider, big fastball hitters, guess what? He's going to come in here. And I promise you, if you ever see a guy like that pitch in the playoffs, he will throw 100% sliders. And if he does, and the guy struggles with slider, they're not going to hit it. And that's just, it's a value to have a special guy that can do that. And then he's done. And then you bring in the guy that, you know, has a better fastball. It's a lot of different weapons out there.
I don't know if you noticed, but the first two starters for the Rays are McClanahan and Baz. Guys who are, I mean, Baz is just a baby. I think he's maybe 21 or something. McClanahan, I think, is 25, but they're both rookies. Baz has pitched fewer than 5 games in the majors. They are not afraid. They are not afraid to throw anybody out there. And I think they're just like, screw it. We believe in what we believe in.
I mean, that Baz guy, Baz, is one of those correct?
Yeah, Baz Baz.
Baz Baz. So when Baz Baz pitches, his demeanor is impressive. When I see young guys, especially with big stuff, sometimes guys with big stuff are emotional guys, and that helps them because they can go out there and be like almost like a Scherzer. You know, when Scherzer gets into it, he starts foaming at the mouth and he just wants to strike out 100 guys. Like that's one type of guy out there. I feel like Baz Baz is like just chill as a cucumber. He did not, when I watched him pitch, I was like, man, this guy is not phased. This guy knows he's good. And I like that. I want my pitchers and my teammates to know they're really good. You can be humble. That's great. Be humble. But like when you step onto the mound, like I'm better than you. And he's got that look and I can see it. And I think it's great for baseball to watch this kid pitch now.
Yeah. By the way, Baz Baz is 22 years old. So
22.
It ain't bad. So Chris Sale is going to get the ball early in this series as well. You know, he's only made a handful of starts since coming back from Tommy John, where he missed 2 years. I don't know. How much have you faced him?
Very rarely. I think I have... Honestly, I might not have faced him in the regular season. I might have faced him only in spring training.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I don't – so not a lot of at-bats off of him.
Yeah. But it's the most unorthodox motion I can remember.
It is. From what I can remember, the big thing is the slider looks like it's a pitch out. That was the thing. The slider from all the way out there, it starts way out there, and for whatever reason it works its way all the way back. In a weird way, they got a right-handed version of him in Hauk.
Right.
You watch Hauk throw, I'm like, that's right-handed Chris Sale throwing at that same angle, throwing. I'm not gonna say right now he's got Chris Sale stuff, because then the Red Sox are gonna have to pay him a lot of money. But he's really, really good. Really, really good. We faced him a few times this year, and that anytime, like I can't imagine being a lefty facing Sale. So when you got that angle and pitches are starting behind you, you know, we already talked about when pitchers are starting at you and you have to, you know, stay in there. That's tough. It's tough when you might get hit. So that's one thing that makes him good.
Okay. Give me a winner of each series. Let's start with Houston and Chicago.
I got Houston going out there and just being the better team. The White Sox might be the best team in the entire world and best team on paper. I think when it comes down to playoff series, I think teams do it. I think teams find a way. I think teams that have been there before, and not enough White Sox have been there. They want it. They might get emotional. And I think Houston knows what they're doing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been going back to it too. It's a team that has been there before, and I don't think the moment's going to be too big for them. And if they go out and do the thing where they're really hard outs and they pitch, they got to pitch, not throw, I think they win the series.
And who will they be facing, Tampa Bay or Boston?
Tampa. Tampa's going to the World Series again. Tampa might win the World Series.
They're that good.
We played every team in the American League this year, and they're better than you that day. They find a way to be better than you that day, and they've got so many. They're kind of like the White Sox in a way too. They have so many deep bullpen arms, mm-hmm. to go along with some good starting pitching, but the deep bullpen in the playoffs, it's tough, man. You got to go face a guy that's just, he's in there to get you out, and then he's done. And the next guy's going to come in and get you out. It's a nice little recipe they have.
Great. All right. I love it. Before we let you go, a few other quick things. Best interaction you have ever had behind the dish with an umpire?
You know, some of my favorite interactions are with Ted Barrett. Whenever I get to break down, anytime he took a punch from Mike Tyson back when they used to spar together, it was just fascinating. I think at one point his son was trying to become an umpire as well. And so, like, I don't know, running down in the family, anytime I can kind of get to know these guys on a personal level or hear some crazy stories. Ted Barrett, actually, it's funny, like right here, you can see I got my Mike Tyson glove. So I'm trying to big Mike Tyson guy. So anytime I got Ted Barrett behind the plate, I got to ask him some cool Tyson questions.
Yeah. What did he say about Tyson?
It was amazing. He said it's starting to catch up to him a little bit. He might have a few screws loose up there from some punches, but anytime like he'll take like a foul ball off the arm and I can see like the massive welt already forming. And I'm like, you all right, man? Do you need like me to give you a second? And he's like, it doesn't hurt. He's taking punches to, he said Tyson used to cheap shot him, hit him in the nuts. I'm like, what? That's not okay. Like Tyson is that, no, that's not okay. But he would wear it. And so, I mean, that's a bad motherfucker right there, Ted Barrett.
How do you tell Mike Tyson not to punch you in the dick?
Mike, please. Mike, please don't, like, stop. You psycho. Like, it hurts. You're strong.
Still not sure that's going to get the job done. Joe West is retiring after the postseason. Are you going to miss playing with his jowl down there?
I had one time I asked Joe. Joe had just thrown a guy out of a game classic. And I was like, Joe, you throw everybody out, huh? And he's like, the first guy I ever threw out was in 1972. And I'm like, what are you still doing here, man? 70-something? You were throwing dudes out of games. You're still here just stomping around, throwing dudes out that piss you off. You know what? I got a lot of respect for him for being in the league for that long. And he's got the record, right? Most ever games as an umpire, I think. So hats off to him. But that's I hope he enjoys retirement.
Are there, because, you know, y'all play in July and August, it can get a little hot and heated down there. Are there any umpires who really stink?
I need them back there. I need them for my career really badly. We can't have robot umpires. If you ever want to talk about that, please don't take away the receiving aspect of baseball. It keeps my job intact. So I need these umpires on my side. I take There might be a couple. There might be a couple smelly ones. There's a couple bad ones. There's a lot of great ones. Some fun personalities. Some not fun personalities. But I'm back there, absolutely trying to become your best friend, though.
Fair enough. You are an outstanding defensive catcher. When you were with the Padres, you made one amazing play in Washington, D.C., where you had to save an errant throw and you ran in the dugout. Did you know that my boss, Jimmy John Boy, made a breakdown of this play?
No.
Really?
No. Did have something to break down Soto's athleticism to catch me?
Yeah. Well, that
he
was
saved
impressive.
Me.
Well, he did say he saved your ass. Did you say thank you or anything?
Oh, yeah. He told me I didn't say thank you, apparently. And then he came up in the box and when he came up to hit, and I was like, bro, thank you. Thank you so much. I was going down. I think I cleared the whole steps. There was a lot going on. We had a pitcher that it happened twice in that year where a ball just like Hosmer's like flipping a ball to not the most athletic pitcher in the world. And just no catch, just straight past the glove. And like, it's one of the plays where I'm like, I'm not backing up this flip from the first baseman. I'm not going to go do it. And of course I should have been backing up and I had to run like an idiot, dive into the dugout to save a ball. But I didn't know he did a breakdown.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was excellent. By the way, dude, you look like you just ran like the 100 meters. You look like you are so gassed at that point.
After that play?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the fastest guy in the world, so I kind of let that be. Like, I'm not going to do a lot of running. So sometimes when I do, I get really tired. I don't know why. I get excited. Like, if I hit a homer, I run way too hard around the bases, and I'm always, like, exhausted trying to catch my breath in the dugout. I'm like, damn, bro, like, I need to work on that. I'm going to hop on the Peloton here in a minute and get my cardio up.
It was great. All right, before we let you go, we like to do this with everybody on the Chris Rose Rotation. We spin the wheel of moderately interesting things. So I've got several categories on here.
Moderately, huh? Okay.
Yeah, well, that's all. We don't like to say it's the best wheel ever. I mean, come on. We don't bet.
It's a pretty special looking wheel. I see you put a lot of time into making it.
Yeah, I think we spent $11.99 on it. Here we go.
Oh, nice. That's expensive. Ooh,
this will be a good one for you. Fasting. When you're hammered, what is your go-to fast food?
So that's what fasting is, huh? So it's like the opposite of fasting.
Yes, it is.
When I'm hammering, go-to fast food. When I'm back home in San Diego, Del Taco. 100% Del Taco. They've got a thing called the Fiesta Pack where you get like 8 bean and cheese burritos and like 8 crunchy tacos. And those are going to make the toilet absolutely blown up the next morning.
I was going to say.
So, you're done. You're absolutely done when that happens. But I mean, otherwise, Whataburger. When I'm out and about, more like East Coast, Texas, that stuff, Whataburger, give me some spicy ketchup. Oh, and one of those like sourdough something, I don't know, something bad for you burgers. Oh, the best.
Is it bad that was the most excited you were on the Rose Rotation was talking about which fast food you wanted to nail?
It might be bad. I need to like baseball more.
No, dude. Are you kidding me? Did you say you eat 8 of those tacos? 8?
There's 8 of each. I'm not sure I ever finished the whole thing. There's, you know, when you're hammered, you got to get the stuff for the group.
Oh God. I used to do, because I lived in Cincinnati right after I graduated from college, White Castle. I would get 2 a.m. sliders. And that would just be that'd sit in my belly for like a month.
Yeah. Mine lasts about 12 hours and then it's it's a long day on the toilet.
Yeah, then you're feeling like you're on a cleanse. That's nice.
Yes, then I am fasting. Yeah.
Austin, this was great, man. I appreciate the time. It was good to get to know you a little bit. I've been rooting for you all year as the entire Rose family. So hopefully we get to see you in Guardians gear next year.
Absolutely. I hope so too. I love that organization. They treat me really well. I mean, I had an amazing year playing for that organization. So I appreciate the love, man. I appreciate you having me on. This was, I had a blast.
Absolutely. And way to break it down. So according to Austin Hedges, your ALCS will be Houston against Tampa Bay. It'll be the same as a year ago, but this time we're going to have massive fans involved and it'll be a blast. So thank you very much to Austin Hedges of the Cleveland Guardians. Special shout out to our producer, editor extraordinaire, Robbie Sciarocca. We'll see you next time on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.